Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
Welcome to WWER 88.1 FM and WWER.org. I'm Marty Allman.
And I'm Jill White, and we're your Navigating Care Partners. And we're back.
We're back. So this is part two. So this is part two of our series, I suppose, mm-hmm. on being part of the care team when your loved one ends up in the hospital or rehab or assisted living.
Yes.
So we were discussing all the people that come into a person's room after they've been admitted to the rehab.
Yes.
You should be getting a visit from all the different disciplines, which is social work, nursing,
dining services, activities
and recreation. Physical therapy, occupational therapy, and sometimes speech therapy.
And sometimes maintenance.
That's true. That's right. Yeah, sometimes maintenance, too. And sometimes housekeeping.
Yes,
for sure. Because they'll be probably responsible for your person's laundry.
Right.
So, where do we go from there?
So, I was going to suggest ask perhaps the executive director or the director of nurses if there is any kind of a brochure that outlines what the disciplines are and who the supervisor, let's say, for each discipline may be. You know, if you have an issue that's a nursing issue, you may want to go to the director of nurses, or you may just want to go to the med tech or the CNA, and understanding what the med tech does, understanding what the CNA does, or RMA, or, you know, there are a lot of different initials that indicate the different levels of care.
Should we turn that triangle upside down?
Turn it upside down.
Our wonderful alma mater, Riverside.
Yes, yes. Our hierarchy is on its head.
Yes, yes. So they decided to kind of turn the hierarchy triangle upside down. Your person is going to have more interaction with a certified nursing assistant than probably anybody else there. Day in, day out.
Hopefully.
And
they should.
I'm going to give a shout out right now. They're wonderful people who work really hard.
Amazing.
And a lot of times, because they tend to...
They feel they're at the bottom.
They feel
of
that,
the barrel.
Yeah, which they're not.
They're at the top.
But they feel that sometimes, you know, they're the last people thought about.
And if you think about it, the person that you want to most be appreciative of is the person that's doing the hands-on, day-to-day, daily care of the person that you're worried about and thinking about. They are usually the most important people.
And unfortunately, they get villainized because they're the front line.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong or something gets lost or something gets lost in translation, the CNA tends to kind of
Take the fall
for that. So anyway, I'm just giving out a shout to them because they're amazing people who work
so hard,
tirelessly, every day.
And are not always appreciated.
So. Not always
not
appreciated.
One week a year is not enough
to
thank those people that are doing all that work.
Right.
And any of you that are caregivers at home, you understand what we're talking about.
Right. So your CNA, their responsibility.
Certified?
Certified.
Medical assistant?
Yes, thank you. Certified medical assistant. No. Certified nursing assistant.
Nursing
CNA. No. Medical assistants usually are at... are usually at doctor's offices, yeah. But they do have them in hospitals as well. So anyway, that person, without dragging it on too much, it's their responsibility to help your person get up in the morning, get clean, and to get dressed and get them ready for rehab, for physical therapy.
You may have heard the initials ADL.
Yeah.
Activities of daily living, and that incorporates all those things that you kind of take for granted when you're doing it on your own, but getting up, finding your clothes, getting dressed, getting bathed, getting your hair done, you know, getting ready to move into the day.
Right. So if there's anything in particular that your family member or friend, it's part of their routine every morning, and it's really important for them to continue that routine, whether it's how they bathe, how they shave, how long they brush their teeth. You know, it's important to pass that on to the CNA and just say, you know, look, just want to let you know this person's very particular about A, B, and C.
Right.
When it comes to their physical care.
I figure their lives have already been disrupted tremendously, so you want to try to put back into place whatever routines will make them feel a little bit more comfortable and that you know about them. You understand their likes and dislikes.
And the thing is that, too, if that person sleeps in till 10 o'clock, that it's not going to necessarily work at every rehabilitation place. They'll try to meet the schedule of that person, but there are things that need to be done, and rehab needs to take place. And so it's going to seem very regimented, and it's that CNA's responsibility to get that person ready for the day unless they're receiving occupational therapy or something like that where they would help them get dressed and things.
Are we going to talk about meds next?
Yes.
Because I just thought of something that I didn't know until I've been working in the industry for a while, that, you know, you maybe you're supposed to take a medication, let's say, at 8 a.m. Well, in the medical world, in a facility, there's a two-hour window. So an hour before is fine, an hour after is fine, usually.
Right.
So you kind of have to take that into consideration.
Right. That's a really good point. Don't panic if your person didn't get their medication yet and it's 15, 20 minutes behind the time that they're supposed to get it, because they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And it's, you know, they have, usually if it's a med tech who's passing out medications or a licensed practical nurse who's passing out medications, she's doing that for everybody on the hallway. So there's no way that everybody could get their medications
at that exact,
right.
Yeah. And the other thing to think of, because a lot of times the med techs that are dispensing, they're in the hallway at their, you know, cart with the computer open, and they're very diligently making sure that they are pulling the proper medication, and then someone's walking down the hall and decides to chit-chat with them or ask them a question. So without being rude, I think those are the people you need to be most aware of, that you probably don't want to interrupt them while they're at the cart, because that's pretty critical what they're doing. It's very critical.
Yeah, it is very critical. So. Actually, a place that we worked actually tried to put... we tried to have that person wearing a red vest so people knew not to interrupt them while they were doing their med pass, because it's obvious, you know, you don't want somebody making a mistake with your family member. So if you need to talk to the med tech, a good thing to do is mention it to the CNA. Hey, can you talk to the med tech? I have a question. Can you ask the med tech this question? The CNA can pass that information on. Actually, the CNA can pass that information on to a nurse or whoever is appropriate, you know, if it's the PT or something like that, or even, you know, if there's a question about activities, you know. So that CNA is an advocate for your person.
Yeah, kind of the liaison to the other departments, really.
Right. It's not necessarily their responsibility to follow through afterwards, but they can definitely deliver information to those people. And a lot of times they're the best connection, because they're going to know your person needs whatever question you have, and they're going to make sure that person gets what they need.
Right.
So med techs, again, sometimes there's 25 people in a hallway, and they have to pass out medication for all of those people. Again, just don't interrupt them while they're doing their work. They also will, usually in their computer, it's hard for them to make a mistake because they'll get certain flags.
Right.
If maybe medications don't mix well and, oh, this mm-hmm. is an issue. So that med tech will take it to the charge nurse mm-hmm. who then will probably call the doctor and say, hey, we see this issue. So there's a very good system put in place.
Yeah. The other thing I was just thinking about is people think, oh, well, we just got a 3-month supply. We'll bring it in.
Right.
You can't do that. You cannot bring in your meds because the regulations, most of these facilities are governed under the Department of Social Services with very stringent regulations, 2 inches worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And any medication that is dispensed in one of these facilities has to be done typically in, they call it the bingo card or the blister pack. So you can bring in meds, and there's usually a charge to put the meds you have into those, mm-hmm. but often it's probably just easier to have the meds ordered through the facility
right.
or community.
And the reason for that, too, is, okay, you're bringing a medication from home. Now they've got this medication, okay, and it does have the person's name on it and it has the dosage on it. But they have to make sure that that medication is
yeah.
the right medication that belongs in that bottle.
Exactly.
Which there's a book this thick that they have to
yes.
look up that medication in.
Yeah.
So although it may be cost effective, I don't even know if it's cost effective.
Eventually.
Just leave the medications at home.
And that's
and half
thing.
The time, medications change
once
the
gonna,
person...
I was going to say, they're coming in from the hospital, they may not need the meds that they used to be on at home,
right.
or they have added meds that they didn't have.
It's just more things for them to
right.
have to try to keep track of.
And it's safer, because like you mm-hmm. said, it's all in the system. You're bringing stuff from home, like you said. You may the right pill may not be in that bottle that it says on the label,
mm-hmm.
because folks mess things up at home.
Right, they get it mixed up.
So again, we get back to be a part of the care team, mm-hmm. be a part of that team, respect them, understand what they do, why they're doing it. That helps to know.
And they're not being rude. I do hear this from family members. You know, I was talking to so-and-so and she did not even look up at me.
Mm.
Well, it's possible that so-and-so was making sure that she was checking the right boxes on her computer or that she had made the correct count of medications.
Yeah.
Because not only do they have to give out medications, but at the end of every shift, they have to count every single pill.
Yeah.
They have to account for every single pill in that cart that stands 4 feet tall and 4 feet
yep.
wide. So
to avoid med errors, there's
yeah.
a lot of cross-checking and triple-checking. And
they might not be being rude. Sure, it's somebody should acknowledge your presence.
Yes.
But they may have to go...
right.
And because, you know, this is important. They have other people's lives in their hands. And
right.
so people take their jobs very seriously,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good thing. Nobody should ever be outright rude to you, but if they don't acknowledge your presence when they're standing at that cart,
mm-hmm.
that's why.
Yeah, there's probably a good
yeah.
reason for it.
Yeah.
And there's usually always someone else that you can go to
mm-hmm.
ask that question of, or,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So then let's say, okay, we've gone to med tech. Let's go to the LPN, a licensed practical nurse. So she's a nurse, and she knows pretty much what nurses know
mm-hmm.
and can do pretty much what nurses do. She's just...
Or he.
I totally did not mean to do that.
I know.
I've worked with some wonderful male nurses.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just what's going through my mind. So that person often has direct communication with the CNAs,
mm-hmm.
with the med tech. So they're part of that little team. You know, how that person is faring through the day. If there are any concerns, you usually bring that to the LPN, the CNA
yes.
or the med tech brings that to the LPN. Then the LPN, like I said, you know, they're able to give injections and, you know, administer medications and administer things. They just have a different licensure
than
a
registered
RN.
Nurse.
Yeah.
yeah. And typically in assisted livings, you will find that the director of nurses or whatever that title is, it will be an LPN, usually not an RN,
mm-hmm.
because an RN is not typically needed in that situation for the type of medical expertise that's required.
Right, right. It's not a, whereas a nursing home
right.
would be different.
Right.
So then you have the charge nurse, and that person is basically that. They're in charge of
nursing.
Nursing, which can be CNA, med tech, LPN, for that shift. So there's always one person in charge for that shift. Mm-hmm. And then there's always, you know, somebody above them as well, mm-hmm. which would be probably the director of nursing, or I guess that's what that title
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Or medical director.
Medical
there's
director.
Usually there's usually, even in assisted living, there will be a medical director that is responsible for, not on site, but there's always a medical director that the nurses answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And that person also comes in and sees their patients, which when you move into an assisted living, often you can become the patient of the
medical director,
whoever's mm-hmm. there at the time, which is kind of nice because it's like you're getting home visits all the time.
Yeah.
From your doctor. So that's kind of cool.
And we've worked with some awesome mm-hmm. doctors who probably don't get enough credit for
True.
Working at the hospital. Working in their practice and then working
yes.
and then working at a rehab.
Yes.
So anyway, so we've gone to a director of nursing who oversees all of nursing. Okay. And she, if there is a serious concern that you feel that your family members' needs are not being met, you've gone to the CNA, you've gone to the med tech or the LPN and the charge nurse, and you're not getting anywhere, that's when you would go to the director of nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's usually in charge of nursing for the whole facility.
Right.
There are different levels of care also in mm-hmm. a rehab. So, and then from there, you know, I kind of want to put a plug in for the other disciplines. So you have a social worker at the rehab or nursing facility. That person, it's their job to kind of monitor your family member and kind of their progress, mm-hmm. how things are going.
Overall well-being, right?
Yeah.
How they're,
mm-hmm. whether they're interacting mm-hmm. cognitively, you know, how they're functioning, whether they're experiencing some depression.
Mm. They'll usually
or
be
anxiety.
The ones, yeah, or the activities person kind of mm-hmm. interspersed, but they'll kind of be the ones to encourage that person to come on out of your room and join in so that you don't fall into that depressive state or
mm-hmm.
why am I here or when am I leaving? Because there's usually so much going on that it's really helpful and encouraging mm-hmm. And fun, you know, to.
Yeah.
To when you, especially when you're starting to feel better and be mm-hmm. better, you want to get out and meet folks, go to meals.
Kind of get back to normal.
Yeah.
To your baseline of who you are or that person is. And post-operative depression is actually a thing.
It's a thing.
Because unfortunately, when you have a surgery or something like that, the anesthesias that you know, are administered
mm-hmm.
sometimes it takes a while to get out of your system, depending on your metabolism and your age and all of that.
I was just going to say, yeah, there are a lot of times that elderly do not come out of anesthesia easily at all. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's a very extended period of time. So mm-hmm. understanding that may help you understand what's going
on. Yeah, and not panic
right.
when they start to act different than
right.
they normally did after they have surgery.
Yep.
But to keep an eye on it too, because like I said, you know, post-operative depression
mm-hmm.
can happen.
And that's why it's important to be part of the team so you
mm-hmm.
can tell all those people what this person really is like or had been like, you know, 2 weeks ago so they know what to expect, you know, to hopefully move that baseline closer to where
right.
they had been.
We are just, we're on it, girl. We are.
It's all
but I think
after.
This information is so good.
Yeah.
Like, if I'd had this information
yeah.
before,
right.
you know.
Well, and as a sales and marketing person, I was always the first contact with the family and sometimes for years before they actually would move into an assisted living community or memory care. And would always be their first point of contact because I'm the familiar one.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 times out of 10, I couldn't help them.
Right.
So I actually developed that brochure to tell them, to direct them in the other directions, you know. But
to
it's
the
important.
Right people.
Because you don't know. You're in a new world. You don't mm-hmm. understand. You're scared. You're nervous. You're worried. And you know, you want to make sure that that person is getting everything they need and that you, too, are getting what you need to be, you know, a good advocate and team member to help.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So that was social work. Mm-hmm. So all of these disciplines, not that you need to know this information, but you might need to know why they need this information. So all of these disciplines have a reporting process that they have to go through.
Very stringent.
And it's sort of like a checklist to make sure that that person is getting the wraparound service that they need.
They should be getting.
And so, and the Department of Social Service or Health and Human Services mm-hmm. kind of sets those guidelines.
Right.
So, or the, what is it?
APS?
No. I don't know. But I think it's those agencies.
Yes.
I digress. Anyway, so that's why social work will come in and visit and ask some questions and kind of evaluate your person mentally. And so then from social work, you might have someone from recreation or activities. And you think, you know, I'm concentrated on mom getting rehab and getting out of here. Part of rehabilitation and what is so important is like we were talking about earlier, getting back to the baseline of who that person is. Because if they're out socializing with other mm-hmm. people who are there that can identify and they don't feel so alone.
Right.
And
they'll eat better if they're eating a meal in you know, in a communal setting. They're like at a restaurant and they will stay longer and usually eat better.
Mm-hmm. They can always eat in their room, but it is good. You know, if this person was a social person before,
right, that's true.
They should.
Right.
And they should be encouraged to do that. So the activities department and the social worker will really encourage and push for that person to eat in the dining room. Because, you know, we sit down as families and eat and have conversation and stuff like that. Obviously, if that's not who that person is, they're not going to push it too much, but they will. And then usually after that person has experienced their rehab for the morning and gone through their OT and PT and all of that, the activities crew will visit your person and ask if, you know, that person wants to join an activity, whether it's bingo or some kind of funny word game, or it's usually an exercise class to begin mm-hmm. with.
Arts and crafts, Bible mm-hmm. study, there's just
so many different things. Yeah. So that person is really in charge of a person's quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you feel like your person is not getting enough interaction or is not doing enough, that they're just kind of hanging out and mm-hmm. watching TV and you'd like to see them doing more mm-hmm. because that's who they were before they came in, mm-hmm. then you're going to want to talk to the activities director or the activities staff person who, you know, is basically in charge of all those fun things.
And they're trained. I mean, they're trained professionals, so they understand what different people may want and how to direct them. I remember when my aunt went into she was in a nursing home, I brought in pictures of her. She had been very active in the community, in politics and stuff. So I brought in some newspaper articles and pictures and all. And the staff actually thanked me for letting them know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had conversation like, oh, tell me about this picture. And, oh, I didn't know you ran for this. Or, you know, it's just getting them connected so that they feel more comfortable. And it's going to help them if they're healing to go home. It's going to speed that process up.
Right. If they feel part of that team and that process, too. And people who work in rehabs and nursing homes are trained to make that person feel like part of the team. So they're really trained to respect the person and not treat the person as a job or object.
And the words are important. You know, they're not a patient.
Right.
They're a resident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's temporary or permanent, they're a resident. You know, if you're staying at a hotel, you're not a patient. You know, you're a resident. You're taking advantage of whatever the amenities are.
You're
a guest. You know, and you want to feel part of that. And as soon as we also used to be very good about finding a mentor or a buddy in the community, maybe someone that they knew or maybe went to the same church or had the same strong interests, you know, art or whatever. And once they would hook up with somebody and meet someone, that helped a lot mm-hmm. to get people really out and very active. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times we had families saying, oh, my mom will just sit there. She doesn't want to do anything. And then they're like, I've been trying to get a hold of my mother all day and she's not in her room. Like, yeah, she's out having fun.
What was the name? There was a name that we gave that because we had several residents that were very outgoing and would kind of...
Ambassador.
Thank you.
Resident ambassador. I used to make little pins for them.
Yeah. So your activity department, again, you can go to them and say, you know, do you all have any resident ambassadors that might want to come down and visit my mom?
Yeah.
Mom,
one of their peers,
dad,
you know?
Yeah. It's a lot easier to relate to someone who's going through the same thing you are, or maybe doesn't like the oatmeal in the morning, you know? It's not all sunshine and roses.
Sometimes you want a buddy to complain with.
That's right. So we've gone through that. And then let's talk about the dietary department and how important they are.
Dining services is so, so key, because for a lot of people, that's like the three main events of the day are their meals. So A, you want them to be good. You want them to be healthy. But you also want them to be filled with things that your person likes, which is why it's so important. And usually these are forms that you fill out in the beginning that, you know, likes and dislikes or allergies. But go ahead with dining services, because that's another key component.
Basically what you just said, and the people who work in dining services, somebody may come into a room and they're bringing food and you've got a question and you just think this person knows your mom or knows what's going on with your mom. That person really... The only thing that they probably know about your person is their dietary needs and if there are any, you know, red flags for their diet or whether or not they need help opening a straw or bringing the soup closer to that person
or cutting
their food. Or their silverware needs to be unwrapped or something like that. But they really don't give medical information. They really don't give... Yeah, they might say something about an activity or something like that, but it's really, they don't feel comfortable doing that, so I wouldn't put them in that situation.
Yeah, I always try to think of them more as, you know, like they're sort of like the wait staff plus, you know, they do more than that, but they're definitely bringing the meals, making sure everybody is getting what they requested and asked for, but they may not have a lot of experience beyond that, like you said, to talk about dining services.
And if you ask them for something, let's say that your person, I don't know, wants...
Extra salt.
Extra salt. There you go. They are going to say, I'm sorry, but I don't have, you know, the information to give that person extra salt or ice cream.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, they may be on a low-sodium diet or, you know, there may be complications.
They will not pour water for your person because there are people who have to have thickened water. And so it may seem that they're rude or not very responsive, but they're doing their job when they tell you no.
Yeah.
Or I'll find out the answer for you.
Yeah, that's
but
should
I don't
be,
have that information right now.
Yeah.
Because their job is really super important. Just like that med tech. You know, the med tech is giving out, you know, medications to your person. Well, this person is giving your person food. And it needs to be the right food, and it needs to be the right thickness and the right consistency and all of that. So, again, not really a great time if they're passing out trays in the hallway to ask them for something. But you can always go down to that department, find out where it is, and say, hey, I'd like to talk to someone. Sometimes they leave notes in the room that you can put on the tray to send information back there. Sorry, I just, like, wave my hand in front of Gosh, we're already running out of time.
We talk a lot.
I know.
What discipline have we missed? Or not? Well, maintenance.
Well, maintenance
which is pretty,
and housekeeping.
Housekeeping is also way up there.
Yeah.
They are so important, obviously, for the obvious reasons. Are we going to go
three? I guess we go to segment three. Because, again, this is a whole, like, you could just do a podcast on just this.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Anyway, if you or somebody you know is caring for others, we want you to know that
we care for you.
We care for you. And you can tune in to our videos on YouTube under Your Care Partners, Navigating Care for Others, or WWER.org.
That's it.
So if you want to listen to one of our previous recorded podcasts, they are archiving them on WWER.org. And you just have to go under talk show and then archived shows, and it'll bring up our shows. We're also available on Spotify.
Yes, indeed. So
we think we're something.
We hope we are helping. So send us your questions, your concerns, and reach out we'd like to help however we're able to.
And our email, if you want to email us a question or if you would like to make a suggestion for an upcoming show, you can email us at carepartners@wwer.org. Thanks. Have a great day.
Take care.
If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.